Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Good to see everyone this morning. Happy June. My goodness, I was just thinking back to from way back in there, from when Maria and I first met. Like, you know, I'm 19, I was 20, she's 19 years old. I don't know, I think she did this as a child, but there's this little tradition we have in our family now, that the first day of the month, as soon as you see somebody, you try to be the first one to go pinch punch first day of the month and no returns. And if you guys ever heard, I've never even heard of that before, Maria, but we do that every month. And this morning, I usually win. Pinch punch first day of the month. And I was like, but it's June. It's not just the first day of a month. This is the middle of the year. Welcome to Haven Community Church. If you're a guest here, we're very, very glad that you're here on the 1st of June. Unbelievable. And where's Miss Sandy? Where's Miss Sandy? I don't normally do this because I don't want to open Pandora's box and offend anybody, but my sister's birthday is today. So happy birthday, my sister. Looking very wonderful at, how old is it, 49? We bless you, our sister, we bless you. You know, as believers, we take every opportunity we can to celebrate life in its various forms. You know, we began this message series on Mother's Day because we want to bless and celebrate and honor moms. And we'll close this message series on Father's Day, so we honor and bless moms. And when there are special birthdays for special people, we want to honor you. And this is June, and one of the other celebrations we have for June now is Juneteenth. We did this for the first time last year. We had a fireworks display and all of that, and we're going to do that again this year. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Juneteenth, it's really, it's one of the oldest celebrations in the nation, actually. It marks the ending of slavery. It began back in 1865 in Galveston, Texas. It's been celebrated in Texas since then. And, you know, it's in recent years, I think it was in 21, became a federal holiday. But I had learned about Juneteenth just a little before that. But it's interesting because, you know, growing up in Jamaica, we have what we call our Emancipation Day, which is in August, and we always celebrated that. And, you know, we think back to the history of slavery. It's a sin. It was a sinful thing that we can look back and say, praise God that we can look forward now, that we can celebrate with hope. And so I hope each of you can come out to our celebration for Juneteenth. We are going to have a food truck. We'll have games. We will have fireworks. Josh Middleton loves to do fireworks. If you've ever been to any of his shows, it's pretty sweet, you know. So come on out to that. We'll say some more over the weeks to come. I'll do a devotion that night as well. But you know, when we think about the opportunity to celebrate as believers, we should take every opportunity to celebrate as often as we can. And this one, I think, you know, it really just speaks to, again, the reminder of the redemptive work of Christ, that he has triumphed over sin and slavery in all of its forms, and that we can remind ourselves again that it's a reminder of how far our nation has come, and yes, how far we have to go still. So mark that on your calendars. I mentioned just a second ago the celebration of moms, and I hope you had a great celebration on Memorial Day, and we'll celebrate dads. But this, again, window, I've taken opportunity to do a series that we're calling Family Matters, where we're just talking about, again, issues related to the family and how do we address these biblically, how do we see our stages of life, where we are, and how do we as Christians understand what it means to live as a family with one another. And so we began with Mother's Day and looking at that Proverbs 31 woman, and then we talked about the blessedness of marriage, and today we're going to be talking about the blessedness of singlehood. I think that as we think about singlehood in our culture. Sometimes it people feel like it's just a station for me to kind of get out of as quickly as possible. But what we're going to see is that the scriptures honor singlehood. It's an exalted place, and we're going to say some more on that. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 7, 7 and 8, and then verses 32 to 35, and then we'll take a look at a passage out of Matthew as well. But if you're able, could you stand for the reading of God's word? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, and then verses 32 and 35. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each one of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this to you for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. The word of the Lord. God, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you that you speak to every area of life. Thank you for the gift of family. Thank you for the different stations in family. I pray today, as I speak on singleness, Lord God, that we would understand as a church body how honored that position is, and that, Lord, we would know how to respond well to our single brothers and sisters, and how our single brothers and sisters can respond well to us who are married. I pray blessing over this time, Lord God. Use it to encourage us, to build us up, to strengthen us as a family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we again look to this idea of being single, I told you that Miss Jill, she asked me at the very beginning, are we Family Matters? Is this like all about a 90s sitcom? Well, some of you might remember the 90s sitcom Living Single. But this is not about a sitcom at all. It is really about what the scriptures have to say about the different places and stations that we have in life, and this issue, particularly on singleness. And I think it's a subject that's oftentimes misunderstood in our culture, in the church culture also. It's sometimes stigmatized in many cultures, including church culture. It's sometimes seen as a temporary waiting room, or sometimes thought of as a less desirable state. But what we're going to see is that the Bible tells a very different story. Singleness is not a curse. It's not a holding pattern. According to Scripture, it's a gift. It's a season, sometimes even a calling. And it's intended to be filled with God's purposes, and for him to place a peace in our lives, and for us to understand there's a power that comes with being single. And so we're going to see what the scriptures have to say on this today. So again, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 7, first of all. And Paul is writing this. Paul the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul himself was a single man. In all likelihood, he was either divorced or widowed. It would have been very, very unlikely in those days for a Pharisee not to have been married. And so he is a single man in his station. Again, in all probability, we don't know this from Scripture, but in all probability, was either divorced or widowed. Now, before we go any deeper, I think it's important for us to acknowledge that there are challenges to being single. You know, my two daughters are both single, and I've had deep conversations with a number of single people. And I know that some of the themes that I hear over and over again are common. You know, there is sometimes that sense of loneliness. You know, I feel alone. You know, it's especially during, you know, deep milestones or during crises. And I get that. There is, of course, the social pressure, and sometimes that pressure, again, is coming from church culture. You know, when we see someone single, and we are immediately thinking, oh, here would be a nice person for you to, you know, we try to do the matchmaking thing and all of that, you know. Sometimes there is this sense of a lack of intimacy, you know. I handling life, I've got choices, big and small, and it can be sometimes overwhelming. And then there's the idea of aging without a partner. You know, how does this affect financial security? What about companionship? Things like that. And again, in a society that often defines people by their relationship, singles sometimes feel like you know, I'm struggling with my identity. Now, I don't want to discount any of these real challenges. But as we're going to see, challenges come in every station of life. Whether you are single or married, they're just different. So we all have challenges that we have to deal with. And as I get to the end of this message, I want to provide hopefully some ideas on how we can address some of those issues. But there are going to be challenges in life. Just live life just for a little bit, and Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, okay? It's coming. And so, again, while these challenges are very real, I want to say to you who are single, they're not insurmountable by any means. We can build friendships, and this is the importance of us having a church community where we are here very intentionally saying we want to be the kind of church that is diverse in terms of our ethnicity, in terms of our station in life, whether we're male or female, whether we are young or old. We want to understand that this is what family looks like. So he says here, verse 7, I wish that you were all as I am, but each of you has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another that. You understand what he's communicating right in this one verse? We're talking about this being a gift. Now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. He's saying that this gift of being single is a good gift. And he's encouraging those who are in that station, stay there. Now, again, I can only speculate on this. So if he was married, I imagine that he may, you know, people have even said maybe his wife left him because of his conversion to Christ. Maybe she left him because, you know, he was too zealous, too overboard, you know. We don't know this. But we speculate that maybe he had trouble in his marriage. And so he's saying, look, the single life, I'm telling you that that's the way to live. And so I want to say to you who are single and for us who are married and supporting you who are single, that living single is not a gap to fill, but it is a gift to steward. Let me say that again. It's not a gap to fill, like I'm missing out in something, and so I've got to fill it in some kind of way. It's a gift to be stewarded. Now, it may be a season for you, or it may well be a calling for you, for God to have you in that space. I remember when I was in seminary, my prayer partner, who I had not been in touch with in many years, but as I was preparing this, I contacted him just a couple of days ago. We're going to talk tomorrow in more detail, but it was a single man. And I can remember him talking about his calling to be single for the Lord. And, you know, he had been praying about this, and then he said he was down in Georgia, and he met this woman who she was just that Georgia peach. Everything he had looked for in a woman. And he went to the parable of the pearl of great price. And as he meditated and thought about that pearl of great price, the kingdom of God, Jesus, who we have, he said, Jesus, you're my pearl. And he made the deliberate choice. And today, he's about 10 years older than I am. He has remained single for the Lord because this is his station. And so I want to say to you that it's not a gap to fill. It is a gift to see. And let me just say something about my friend Prentice. I have not encountered anybody who has taught me more about spiritual disciplines, about how to seek God more than he has. He taught me this, so many things that I've held on to today. This is a single man living for the Lord. So Paul makes it clear that singleness is not a second-class status. It is a gift. It's a gift. And like every gift from God, it comes with purpose. So Paul says to the unmarried person, you're able to focus more on the things of the Lord. And so this does not mean that singles are more holy, but they oftentimes have more opportunity to invest time and energy into spiritual growth and ministry and into service. And so we look at the examples of those who are our heroes of the faith. You know, Paul, John the Baptist, and Jesus. When you don't know what to say in church, just say Jesus, right? These are single men. And so their lives were not marked in any way by what they lacked, but by the mission that they embraced. And so if you're single, you need to ask yourself this question. What does God want me to do in this season that I could not do otherwise? You don't waste this chapter. It's not the introduction to a better story. It's part of your story. Now, I was having, you know, I always kind of run my messages through friends that I love and my family. And I was talking to my daughter, Lauren, who is a single woman today. You know, I was asking her about that. And she said, Dad, you've never really known the single life as an adult, have you? And I have not, you know, because I have been, you know, from when I first had a girlfriend as a teenager, I've always had girlfriends along the way until I came across the girl who is now my wife. And we've been together since we were kids, you know, so I don't really know the single life. So I want to state that. So I don't know all the struggles experientially, but I have thought about this. And there are so many times where I sense a calling to do some ministry or other for the Lord, and I realize, well, I got to check in with Maria first. I got to make sure that, you know, when my kids were in the home, I got to make sure I'm taking care of them, because my first ministry is to my family. Amen. So if you're married, you need to know that. That's your first ministry. It's ministry. But we all have a given capacity. And if I'm unmarried and I don't have a wife, I don't have kids, then I have opened up capacity for other areas of ministry. So if you are single, ask yourself the question, what is it that God would have me do with this right now? I can remember, you know, way back in the day, man, this is my first church, one of the single guys talking to us married folks saying, well, you guys have all the time, so you should. I say, no, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. And so I want to give you some, you know, a couple of ideas on how you can perhaps seek clarity as you're discerning God's purpose. Because this is where you want to start. You want to live with purpose, okay? You got to live with purpose. Now, I'm not saying anything that does not apply to all of us, but I'm speaking to you who are single. Live with purpose. So. How do we do this? The starting place is really the same as for all of us. It starts with surrender. I am yours, Lord God. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm left here. I'm left here to serve you. And so if my, you know, we've talked about this already, the heart being right before God. If my heart is not guarded, if I've not yielded my heart to God, then I'm just going to find that station is like something to get out of instead of saying, no. It's a high calling. But I am surrendered to you, Lord God. So purpose begins not with answers, but with yieldedness. I'm yielded to you, God. So you surrender your hopes and your fears to him. You're trusting that God is a God who writes good stories. Even if the chapters may feel a little unfinished right now. Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. Yeah, it's not. I know I'm not just speaking to singles here. We all can relate to this, right? That I've got to yield myself. I've got to believe that there's purpose in what I am. And so a second thing I would say is examine your current situation. What is the season you're in right now? What is God teaching me right now? What needs has he placed around me? Now, I know not every need constitutes a calling, but your calling comes from needs. And so look around. What is God doing around you right now that he might be calling you into? You pay attention to the longings of your hearts and your gifts. What burdens stir your heart? What talents has God given to you? And I mean, this is kind of like a every Sunday message right here, but you lean into scripture. You lean into prayer. You allow God to speak to you through his word. Don't just wait for Pastor Brian to preach a word on Sunday. You need to be in that word for yourself. You need to be digging deep and asking the Spirit of God to speak to you through his word. And of course, surround yourself with the community. This is family. You're single, but you've got married couples that love you. And yeah, we learn from one another. So we live with purpose. And in so doing, we walk then in faithful obedience to the Lord God. So let me say this again. It's not a puzzle to be solved, this thing called singleness. It's a path to be walked with him and through him and in him and with him. So whether or not your singleness is a chapter, maybe that's what you're in right now, maybe God has somebody in store for you, or it's a calling, God is not going to waste any of this. Now, if you're desiring to be married, that's not a bad thing, okay? Paul is saying it's better to stay unmarried. There's wisdom in that. And I don't know this, but I've maybe because I am so attached to my bride, and I've said, and I don't like to think like this, but should the Lord take her? I've thought, I'm just going to stay single. I have no desire for anyone else, first of all. But secondly, I think it would free me up just to serve God. And I've known many people in that state. My mom was one of them. My mom said, I just don't want to get married again. I'm thinking about another good friend of mine from Heritage. When Mike's wife passed away, when I think she was in her 40s or 50s, Mike said, my focus is now on my children. He stayed single. If your desire is to be remarried, it's not a bad thing, but I'm just saying, don't feel like you've got to rush it or push it. Understand that God may want you right where you are. He says then in verse 32, I would like you to be free from concern. I would like you to be free from concern. It goes on to talk about the concerns of being unmarried and then being married. You know, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. And then he says, likewise, an unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. And says, I'm saying this to you for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. I want you, he says, to be free from concern. What is he saying? He's saying that just as you now understand this being a gift, I want you to live with purpose. He says, I want you to live with peace. I want you to live with peace. I want you to be free from concern. Isaiah 54:5, he says this. For the your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. You know, in singleness, there's this profound opportunity to experience the emotional and spiritual sufficiency of God. I know we don't practice this a whole lot because we're so busy, and especially those of us who are married. You guys know that just about a month or so ago, I took a week away just to be in silence before the Lord. And the first time I did this, I think I told you this story, but I'll tell you again anyway. But I was going to come back on that on a Friday. On the Thursday evening, and I was enjoying the presence and the silence of the Lord so much. I texted Maria and said, "Hey, would it be okay if I stayed an extra day?" And she said, "Yes, it's fine." And then when I finally got into the car and I'm driving back, it took me a good hour before I could even talk. I was just enjoying the presence of God so much. And then I said, "Maria," you know, when I got on the phone, I said, "I need to let you know that I'm going to become a monk." They're all single, right? There's something about the single life that enables you to just spend that time in the presence of God whenever you need to. There's a peace God has for you in singleness. And I know the pressure of the world is saying, no, you have to have this married person. And I know in particular, ladies, women who are single, tend to want to rush that a little bit more because of the biological clock. I get that. I understand that completely. I mean, I've had that conversation with so many young women, including my daughter, you know, and it puts an undue pressure upon you. And I think in that state, many feel like, I've just got to get married. And they marry the wrong person. They marry the wrong person. If you are feeling the desire for marriage, again, I want you to hear me carefully. It's not a bad thing. It's a different gift. It's a gift just like singleness is a gift. But if you are desiring this, don't desire it just because you feel my station needs to change, because you will marry the wrong person. You need to marry somebody who has a greater love for God than that person has for you. But I've seen people who get married just because they're nice, they have income, they have a job, they have credentials. That's not enough. God wants you to be in peace right where you are, and not to feel rushed in your station. Not to feel rushed. Philippians 4, 11 through 13 reminds us. You know, this is a passage that, as some of you guys know, I mean, athletes will tattoo on their chest, right, Gary? Philippians 4, 13. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. You guys know who John Jones is? Probably the GOAT when it comes to MMA. It's tattooed across his chest. Yeah, I can beat up everybody through Christ who strengthens me. That's not the context. The contents is being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in poverty, throughout your life, whatever the circumstances, that the contentment doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from Christ. So I want to say to you singles, again, I'm married and I love my marriage and it's a good thing and it's a gift. But so is singleness. And don't feel like you've got to rush out of that because that's what everybody else is telling you. Make sure that you're not looking to another person to provide only what God can provide. Peace doesn't come from people. It comes from God. It comes from God. So live with purpose and live with peace. So I mentioned to you at the beginning, I wanted to look at a little passage out of Matthew 19 as well. And so in Matthew 19, you see Jesus leaves Galilee. He travels to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And then he has these crowds that are following him. And as Jesus does Jesus' thing, he's healing people. And so, you know, he's attracting a lot of attention. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they are a little concerned about this itinerant preacher, and they approach him to test him by asking whether or not it's lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason. And Jesus responds by referencing the creation account. He explains that God made humans male and female and intended marriage to be a lifelong union. And he emphasizes in that passage, what God has joined together, let no person separate. And so the Pharisees are questioning, why then did Moses allow for divorce? And Jesus says, he allowed for it because of your hardened hearts. People were mistreating one another in marriage, mostly husbands mistreating their wives. But he said that was not God's original intention. He states that divorce followed by remarriage is adultery, except in cases of sexual immorality. And so the disciples, they react by saying, if that's what marriage is, and if it is so binding, maybe it's better not to marry. And so Jesus replies to them that, well, not everyone can accept this teaching. But in light of this, he describes those who have been born as eunuchs, those who have been made eunuchs by humans. A eunuch is, again, just somebody who cannot have the sexual union. And then he says, but there are those who choose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. They choose this. This is their choice. This is my friend Prentice, who has chosen for the sake of the kingdom of God to remain single throughout his lifetime, and God is using him mightily. He's not prescribing this for everyone, but he's affirming that for some people, singleness is a conscious and a spirit-led choice that enables a person to focus on the kingdom of God. It allows that person to focus on the advancement of God's purposes. And so when you are single, as we've been saying, you have more control over your time, over your finances, over the direction of your life. And that's power. And so we want to live with purpose. We want to live with peace. We want to live with power. I'm saying this to you, single people. You have access to this. Yes, we all do. But I'm saying you're in a special place where you have the ability to release the power of God in the advancement of his kingdom. So, you know, there are many movements, many ministries, many missions that have been launched by single people who are able to say yes to God without needing to consult another person. Again, when we are here today reading the scriptures, most of the letters of the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul, who could get up and go wherever he went on his missionary journeys. He didn't have to consult with his family. And that's not being independent from people. You know, you read Paul's letters, you know, I mean, the numbers of people he calls by names and sends greetings to them, and he talks about couples that he spends time with, and you know, he lives in the community of the believers, those who are married and those who are single. But it's really the ability to be fully available to God. And so I say to you, who are single, use this season to develop spiritual strength. Use this season to lead boldly, to serve freely, to grow deeply, to step into that power that God has available to you right now. It's not a waiting room. It's a mission field. Colossians 2:10 says this, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness, speaking to each one of us. And that means whether you are married or you're single, your identity is not in your relationship status, it's in Jesus. That's your relationship status. The goal of life is not marriage. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that in heaven there is no marriage. Sometimes I'm bummed out about that. You mean I don't get to spend the eternity with Maria as my wife? There's no marriage in heaven. Did you know that? As we talked about when we looked at Ephesians 5, it's a blessed estate, it's a gift. But it's a picture of Christ and his church. It's a shadow of the reality that will be found when we see him face to face. And so when we see him face to face, there is no marriage. So the goal is not marriage. The goal is Christ-likeness, growing into the picture. And, you know, the scriptures tell us that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until that day of Christ Jesus. He's begun a work in us. He says he's making us into the likeness of Jesus. That's the goal. So whether you're single by choice or circumstance or calling, know this, you are not less than. You're not lacking, and you're not alone. You're in a family. You are gifted, and you are loved, and you are whole in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. All of us need to say amen. And so ultimately, singleness is not a waiting room. It's a very rich and dynamic season that God has ordained so that the self can flourish. He wants the very, very, very best for you and for me. Hallelujah. All right, so let's bring this to close. I want to give you some, perhaps some suggestions on how you can cultivate grace in that season of singleness. Again, we want to see each one of us, but I'm speaking to you who are single now. We want to learn what it means to live with peace and with purpose and with gratitude. Right where you are. Here's how we do this. We need to anchor our identity in Christ. We need to anchor our identity in Christ. My identity is not in being married or single. It's in Christ. Let your worth be rooted in what God says about you, that you are his beloved. Think about, again, our Lord Jesus, who was single. I think it brings... And again, this is not just unique to the station of either being single or being married, but if my identity in Christ, it brings freedom from the comparison that our culture wants to bring upon us. And to know that right where we are, God has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, right where we are. We need to practice gratitude daily. I'm trying to do this now in my marriage state, that every day I want to start my day thanking God for the things that he has done for me this day. And I write it out as best I can. And I come to the end of the day, I want to do the same thing again. These blessings happen today. Just to practice gratitude, to say thank you a lot to God. Something about being grateful, this changes us from the inside out. Did you know that? So somebody who's grateful, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to pursue wholeness. Not just waiting, to pursue wholeness. And wholeness is not determined by whether you're married or not. Wholeness, again, is found in Christ. We serve together as singles and as married folks. And I want to say to you, be honest with God. If you are struggling in your singlehood, there's another part of Scripture where the Scriptures tell us, you know, if you are single and you're burning, get married. Get married. So he's not saying don't get married. He's just saying that we want to honor singleness. We want to honor that space. And as we say so often here at Haven, what happens here on Sunday morning, I believe, is a gift and is, I want to say that the preached word ought to have a place of primacy in his church. I believe that God ordained for this, that we hear God's word being preached on a regular basis. We come together in our congregations. But this is not it, right? This is not everything. This hour and a half that we spend together on a Sunday morning, it's good and it's important. But we got the rest of the day and the week to live out this thing. And we ought to live it out in community. We need to find places where we can connect in smaller groups, where we share with one another and we cross-pollinate. I learn from my single brothers and sisters what it means to live the single life. And you who are single, learn from us who are married what it means to live just in community. So find that. Build yourself life-giving community. I said at the beginning, I wanted to acknowledge the struggles there are with being single, but this grace that God has given to you in that space, it's not about pretending that it's easy. But for us who are married, we're not going to pretend it's easy either. Somebody's going, it's hard. It can be. But it's about trusting God's goodness in the midst of it. And having such an openness to God that you, when you're hurting, you tell God. This is what I love about the Psalms. The Psalms express every single emotion of the human heart. You know, there's a lot of praise in there, and I love the Psalms for that reason. This is my Enneagram type 7, the joyful person. I just love to praise God. But it also speaks to those dark times, you know, when I'm feeling lonely, when I'm feeling sad, when I'm angry. And it gives expression to that. And likewise, I think as we come before God, this it gives us permission to just be who we are before God. God, I am struggling. I'm hurting. I'm alone. I'm feeling sad. And you cry out to him, and you give that to him. You give that to him. But allow him in the midst of wherever you are to shape your heart, to shape your heart through it. So let me close with this. I just want to say this, that contentment in singleness, it's not a passive resignation. It's not, okay, God, I guess that's where I'm at. I don't want to complain. Some people have things worse than me. That's not what we're talking about, right? It's being honest with God, but it is an active trust in a God who is enough and he wastes no season. We're going to go to communion here in just a moment, but as I close, I want to pray particularly for those who are single right now. I want to honor you. And I want you to know that your station in life right now, whether it is, again, a season or a calling, that God wants to use you right where you are. I pray this message has spoken to your heart. And for those of us who are married, I pray that we would honor and lift up our single brothers and sisters, that we would know that every station God calls for his good purposes. So, Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the family of believers. Thank you, God, for the giftedness of being single, the giftedness of being married, the giftedness of being in your family. Thank you that there are no second-class citizens. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you as a single man showed us what singleness looks like in its fullness, in its fullness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it was you who have made the way for us to be right with the Father. It was on that night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it and said, this is my body given for you to do this in remembrance of you. And you took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood poured out for many. And we are so grateful for your broken body and your shed blood. Amen.